Training Montage, written by Marble Glove, narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, The Scum Villain Self-Saving System, by Mo Xiong Tong Xiu. Rating, general audiences, no archive warning supply. Recorded for Anapods in the 2025 Summer Podfix Swap. Chapter 1. One of the myriad problems with transmigrating that Shen Yuan was only now discovering as he lived through it himself was the very real difference between what one liked in a character and what one liked in a person one had to actually interact with. All that was to say, yes, Luo Bingha was Shen Yuan's favorite character, but in person he was a small child with good intentions and no skills. It's all well and good to root for the poor white lotus of a child who has been orphaned too many times and only wants to help people, but it's an entirely different thing to have a kid constantly volunteering to help in such a way that it makes more work for everyone else. Yes, bullying was bad, and Shen Yan would never want to victim blame, but little Luo Bingha really walked around like a target for such things, with his wide-eyed look of hope constantly falling into trouble for himself and others. And running away crying was heart-wrenching in a book glorifying trauma, but got real old real fast when it came to a young teen boy who was theoretically trying to learn to become an immortal cultivator. Shen Qingqiu was the stereotypical scum villain, and Shen Yuan had no sympathy for him as a character. Walking in his shoes, as it were, both metaphorically and literally, was making Shen Yuan do some self-assessment about exactly how much sympathy he did have after all. Not about his abuse, because those actions were indefensible, but the feelings behind them. Well, those made a great deal more sense when Luo Bingha was crying about his situation but also not doing anything to change it. The kid had options. Even if he didn't have the personality to sit down and study at the library like a scholar should, there were 11 other peaks, 10 of which he could transfer to with varying levels of effort. He was old enough now to go down to the city and find himself a position as an apprentice somewhere. Why was the kid still hanging around here being a miserable victim when he didn't have to? Which brought up a question. System. Does Luo Bingha also have a system telling him that he has to stay here? Can non-transmigrators even get systems? Or is some poor schmuck stuck as young Luo Bingha? At least whoever had transmigrated into him would know that he was fated to become an emperor with a massive harem of beauties if he could just get through these years of suffering first. Including the endless abyss. Unlike Shen Yuan, who received 8 years of a decent life before being fated for a long, torturous death as a human stick. No user. The other system is not attached to the protagonist. Well, that answered the question while raising even more. Discovering there was another system at play was interesting. Seeing what the other system had done to Song Tinghua was horrifying. If anyone was being horribly abused, it was poor Airplane, who maybe deserved a terrible fate, but certainly didn't deserve to be made to dig his own grave this way. Of course, Shen Yuan didn't think he deserved to be made to dig his own grave either. His system didn't care about fairness, though. Shen Qingqiu had to continue torturing Bingha in order to avoid being out of character, because he was fated to abuse Bingha, and Bingha was fated to torture Shen Yuan to death. Or at least Shen Qingqiu, who Shen Yuan now was. But the thing was, well, there were multiple things. But one of the things was that Shen Yuan, for all of his many sins, sloth being his favorite, wasn't willing to be a child abuser. He didn't want to abuse a kid, and he wasn't sure he'd even be able to. Surely he'd flinch if he even tried. Emotional and verbal abuse are acceptable alternatives to physical abuse, user. Shen Yuan did not find that input from the system helpful or cheerful, especially given that it thought Shen Yuan would have no trouble with that at all. It even occasionally rewarded Shen Yuan character points for his interaction with other characters when Shen Yuan helpfully pointed out some idiocy they were doing, like a good teacher and Peak Lord should. He had read and enjoyed many chapters about Bing He being abused, because he knew that Bing He would come through it even stronger and would eventually have his revenge. And his revenge was something wonderful to look forward to, when it was directed at the terrible and abusive Shen Qingqiu. It was significantly less wonderful to be told to perform the abuse as a daily matter, even without knowing the future revenge would be against Shen Yuan. Shen Yuan did understand. The protagonist had to go through some pretty severe trials and tribulations, because otherwise, he'd just be one more overpowered smug cultivator and might never even discover his demon heritage. Even if the system had let him change Shen Qingqiu's personality entirely and start spoiling Bing He like a pampered eldest son, it would just destroy the character that Shen Yuan had loved so much that he'd put up with terrible writing and terrible plots for 1,000 chapters. That's what happened to spoiled children. His own parents had mourned over Shen Yuan's state of idleness as a symptom of their own pampering of him. He had tended to give his chronic illness more of a role in how his life had turned out, but he couldn't be absolutely sure. So, he was in a bit of a bind, trying to figure out how to properly abuse Bing He according to the system's demands, without abusing him according to Shen Yuan's own scruples, while also giving Shen Yuan some time to enjoy his remaining years of life and freedom before his inevitable torturous death. On the plus side, Shen Yuan had read a lot of terrible web novels in his time. Like, a lot. Proud Immortal Demon Wei was nowhere near the worst of them, which was such a depressing thought that he avoided thinking about it. It was just the one he hated most, but he knew all the tropes. One thing he often noticed, and viciously commented on, was how much overlap there was between flashbacks of horrifying abuse showing a character's terrible backstory and training montages showing a character's remarkable improvement under a stern teacher. So really, he just needed to convince the system that Shen Qingqiu giving particularly harsh training exercises to Bing He would both fulfill the plot requirements and not be out of character, while Shen Yuan assuaged himself that he was just making sure Bing He had the skills he needed to live his destined, horrifying life. The system proved amenable to his arguments. Since Bing He isn't capable of learning from a manual like a civilized being, he will learn from pain like a beast. The young disciple paled. Thus started the montage of training missions from hell. There were plenty of lessons that would probably actually help Bing He survive and thrive in the Endless Abyss, and in his conquering of the realms later on. But the kid was absolutely terrible at classroom work, and throwing him directly into practical lessons would normally be hideously dangerous, not to mention deadly, for anyone who didn't have the protagonist halo. Shen Yuan double-checked with the system. He did not want to face any punishment for accidentally killing off the protagonist. But it was mostly fine, and Shen Yuan just started throwing him into terrible situations with minimal instructions and letting him learn from experience. The School of Hard Knocks, where the test comes before the lessons, and the lessons will be repeated until learned. Shen Yuan really only had to step in when it looked like someone else was going to get killed before Bing He learned a lesson. No Skinner demon was going to successfully take over a heavenly demon, but Shen Yuan did not want little Ning Ying Ying to be fridged for Luo Bing He's character development. Shen Yuan started excluding Bing He from the shared missions and giving him his own independent missions instead. Shen Yuan dragged Bing He out into the wilderness with a foraging guide and told him to make dinner, while Shen Yuan explored and admired the local wildlife. Shen Yuan rejected anything that wasn't to his taste, while commanding Bing He to eat whatever he produced to avoid waste. Given the overlap of flora and fauna that were edible at all, and items that were aphrodisiacs, Shen Yuan was extremely careful about what he consumed while alone with an adolescent student. Luo Binghe, on the other hand, would learn to deal with blue balls like any teenage boy, and maybe his future life would be less ridiculous. It turned out even heavenly demons, at least those whose lineage was sealed away, could get food poisoning. Plus 50 points for introducing new abuse. Shen Yuan could already imagine how this would play out in his own future torturous death. He really hated the system. Bing He did eventually get better at recognizing what was and was not edible, and also studying the wildlife to make educated guesses on things that weren't in his foraging guide. He also finally picked up the fact that Shen Qingqiu was perfectly comfortable practicing Anadia more or less indefinitely, so Bing He was not required to produce 3 meals a day, or even 1 meal a day. There was no rush, and he could slow down to get things right. When Shen Yuan acquired a cursed sword, he told Luo Bing He to take it to Wantian Peak for their collection, knowing perfectly well that Bing He would experiment with it first. At the next meeting of the Peak Lords, Shen Yuan had to deal with a lecture from Peak Lord Wei Qingwei about how dangerous that was and how they had been barely able to break the connection that had developed between the cursed sword and Bing He. Hopefully the little beast will be less susceptible to cursed swords in the future. His martial siblings acted shocked and horrified at his callousness. But Shen Yuan was being honest. If Bing He could prevent a connection forming with Xin Mo, a lot of lives could be saved. He also took the opportunity to stare unblinkingly at Yue Qingyan, hoping that he would take the point as well. Shen Yuan went out of his way to acquire additional cursed swords. 3 times, because it took 4 swords for Bing He to learn the lesson about how to avoid contamination from a cursed sword, or at least break a connection himself after it managed to sink its claws into him, when Shen Qingqiu sent his littlest disciple to carry them, 1 at a time, over to Wantian Peak. By the end of it, Peak Lord Wei Qingwei was threatening to kidnap Bing He from Shen Yuan while accusing him of child endangerment, which made the system very happy. And Bing He had a basic understanding of how cursed swords worked and what to do about it when they tried to attach themselves, which made Shen Yuan very happy. So Shen Yuan had moved on to finding increasingly dangerous artifacts that had to be carried to Chongzhou Peak, the artifact refining peak. He even took Bing He to the Warm Red Pavilion to take some fully clothed, non-participatory lessons from the ladies there about sex and sexuality, as well as basic hygiene. Hopefully, this would give Bing He a better respect for sex workers and make his future harem somewhat less toxic of an environment. Shen Yuan, meanwhile, spent an enjoyable afternoon and evening relaxing, listening to music, and chatting with people who were well paid to pretend that they liked him. A notable distinction from his martial siblings, who seemed to range from apathetic to active dislike when it came to Shen Qingqiu. Disreputable rumors about Shen Qingqiu surged. His martial siblings castigated him semi-regularly, and absolutely no one did anything about the perceived issues. Are you sure no one else has a system controlling their actions? Shen Yuan had to double-check. Given how angry his martial siblings were, it seemed utterly ridiculous that they were restricted to merely confronting him with words or occasionally fists and not, say, removing a student from his control.
Only 2 systems are active at this time.
It seems like they're the ones acting out of character, Shen Yuan pointed out. And if they can act in such a way that history, words, and actions make no coherent sense, then I should be able to too.
What do you want to do?
Shen Yuan grinned. One of Bing He's future wives, Axiang, was already at the warm red pavilion, a woman whose tragic backstory he knew, and thus knew she wasn't happy with this life. He paid her to weep inconsolably on a 17-year-old Luo Bingha's shoulder. Bing He looked completely out of his depth and horrified, trying to pat her comfortingly on the back, while also not touching her at all, and sending his Shuzun a pleading look for rescue. Shen Yuan smirked and tossed the little beast a heavy purse of coins. That could keep a mortal living well for a year, a thrifty mortal for 5 years, or get a smart mortal established for a lifetime. Arrange for her a happy life. The boy had looked shocked but pleased at this demonstration of his Shizun's charity, and Shen Yuan wanted to smack his head. All power to the sex workers, and none at all to the boy who would keep the most acrimonious harem that had been an amazing power fantasy when it was fictional. But even then, Shen Yuan had castigated Airplane for ignoring his amazing female characters. When it was real people being confined to the role of sex object, it was horrifyingly grotesque. Consider this a test of your skill. He glared at the boy destined to whisk this woman away from the brothel in 10 years, have a bout of athletic sex with her to make her forget all her prior clients, and then lock her in his harem for the rest of her life as he proceeded to forget she existed. Happy next year, Shen Yuan said in the most threatening way he could. Happy in 10 years. He loomed over the little beast. Happy in 20. Pick wisely. Bing He looked suitably cowed, while the lady in question looked pleased as punch. She and Shen Yuan both knew that she would have been perfectly content to take a purse that size to any of half a dozen merchants and get a position as a concubine with that as her dowry. It would have been a respectable life. But with Shen Yuan giving the purse to his disciple and assigning that disciple the task of ensuring her happiness, that it was a test of his skill, with the power to say whether or not Bing He had fulfilled his Shuzun's assignment resting with her, she could set her sights much higher than a respectable life under a domineering first wife. Axiang might not know exactly what she wanted from life to make her happy, but she was about to find out, and a young cultivator was basically assigned to be her bodyguard and companion and guide to do it. If Shen Yuan was lucky, she and Bing He would get married with that money, and Shen Yuan would never have to deal with the Endless Abyss arc. Although he supposed if he was particularly unlucky, the two would get married and he would still have to push Bing He into the abyss and thereby leave Axiang temporarily widowed and vowing revenge. If that happened, Shen Yuan would be sure to let Bing He know that he had failed this assignment before he pushed him in. Shen Yuan was not particularly surprised, though, when Bing He returned a month later with a report of Axiang having been formally adopted as Liu Xiang. She was established as the apprentice and heir apparent of a previously childless instrument maker, whose business allowed respectable connections at all levels of society. A combination of craftsperson and merchant. The role was respectable enough to be invited into noble houses, but not so high that anyone would question her knowing the ladies of the warm red pavilion. And a future romantic relationship with anyone Liu Xiang chose was a possibility, but not a requirement for her future happiness. Shen Yuan nodded his acceptance of this report, and then lied. I will see how well you did in 1 year, 10, and 20. He would check on the lady in 1 year, while Bing He was suffering in the endless abyss. In 10 years, Shen Yuan would probably be dead, or wishing he was. The Immortal Alliance Conference happened all too soon. There was a demon invasion, a number of fights, the endless abyss opening up, and Bing He's demonic seal cracking. And everything is terrible. Shen Yan looked at his weeping disciple, who is not his smallest disciple anymore, but still his youngest, and also his most ridiculous. "Consider this a test of your skill." "What?" The protagonist looked up at him, big, beautiful eyes with crystalline tears clinging to his lashes. "I know perfectly well you'll survive, but can you survive without deviating from the righteous path?" Shen Yan asks, hoping that it will inspire Bing He not to come out with quite so much murderous intent. "This test will say whether you are a righteous cultivator like your mother, or just one more demon to be imprisoned like your father." And that gives Bing He something else to obsess over, other than revenge on Shen Qingqiu. Bing He's eyes go even larger. "My mother? My father?" Shen Yan pushed him into the abyss before Bing He could fully process his own thoughts.
+1,000 points for fulfilling Endless Abyss plot point.
Now he'd just have to wait to see what happened. Chapter 2. Cleaning up after the Immortal Alliance conference, i.e., making things even messier. Of course, the novel plot always followed the protagonist, while Shen Yuan was left to deal with the cultivators still at what remained of the Immortal Alliance conference. He was not going to announce the death of a disciple he knew perfectly well would show up again in 5 years to prove him wrong. And if Bing He wasn't being declared dead, then he should obviously be declared the winner. Because, despite all the issues, Luo Bing He really was Shen Yan's favorite character. "Despite the disturbance, my disciple clearly won the competition."
"Then where is he?"
"Given the number of deaths at other sects, I thought it best to send him on a training mission so that his celebration would not overshadow their funerals. We can celebrate him when he returns, after their mourning period is over." Shen Yan was quite pleased with himself for that argument. The rest of the cultivators looked more suspicious than convinced.
"Do you have proof that he's still alive?"
"Is my word not good enough?
Everyone knows that you've been trying for years to get your disciple killed."
"I'm insulted that everyone thinks I'm so incompetent." Shen Yan had no trouble at all sneering, just like the original goods would have. Not only would the protagonist Halo have protected Bing He against anything Shen Yan could have done, the system would have ground him down just like it had Airplane. Let it never be said that Shen Yan couldn't learn from other people's errors.
"You've always given him the most dangerous tasks."
"And he has always become stronger from the experience. Is not assigning such learning tasks the role of a teacher?"
"Everyone knows that you treated him harsher than you did any other disciple. They all live in fear that you'll treat them the same way you did Luo Bing He."
Shen Yan sniffed. "They needn't fear. They'd hardly survive the same assignments as the little beast, any more than the beast would have learned from the classroom."
"You can't just claim to have his best interests at heart after he survives your suicide missions."
"I gave him what he needed to survive. It's up to him if he does so or not."
"No one can survive the endless abyss."
"Do you claim to know more than this, Master?"
"You won't get many students if it comes out that you did this."
"That would be a relief. More time for him to explore the world. But also, none of my students died in this fiasco. I'd think families would be more wary of Huanhua Palace given their attrition rate."
"One of your students did die."
"He'll be back in 5 years."
"We need proof now."
"You have my word."
Do you think 5 years is enough time for the world to forget that you killed one of your own students? And this was just getting ridiculous. Well, time to stir the pot. He didn't know whether or not Bingha would come back hell-bent on torture revenge against Shen Xingqiu, although he'd done his best to avoid that particular fate. But in a situation where he couldn't control all the variables, the next best thing to do was make sure that no one else could either, and Shen Yan had information and perspective that no non-transmigrator had. Oh, no. Shen Yan didn't bother to stop the slow, threatening smile from spreading across his face. No, I don't think even 19 years would be enough time for the world to forgive a master for killing his disciple. Don't you agree, Old Palace Master? Old Palace Master actually looked confused for a moment, before realization dawned and he turned both pale and flushed in a blotchy fashion before getting his face back under control and immediately tried to shout Shen Yan down. You cannot escape justice for having so blatantly killed your own disciple right here in front of us all. The reaction was enough to catch the attention of the other cultivation masters and distract a little bit from the coordinated attack against Shen Xingqiu. 19 is a very specific number, Master Shen. Yes, it is. Shen Yan kept his eyes on the old palace master.
He's trying to distract us with nonsense. 19 years ago, we had a war with the demons. Many disciples died then in honorable battle, not tossed aside like trash by their own master.
Tossed aside like trash? Shen Yan repeated musingly. No, I wouldn't characterize your actions then in such a way, although I rather expect Su Xiyan would have preferred it to her actual fate.
Wasn't Su Xiyan killed by demons?
I thought she just ran away in shame.
Shen Yan continued to smile menacingly at the old palace master. In less than 5 years, I expect to prove the life of my disciple. Why don't you spend those years trying to prove what happened to yours? The system was silent, its focus presumably on what was happening with Luo Bingha down in the Endless Abyss. A world of possibilities opened up to Shen Yan. Gen Z Peak Lord with cultivator abilities and nerd knowledge and no more system keeping him leashed. The world was his oyster, and whether or not it ended in tortured pain in 5 years, he was determined to enjoy the interim. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. If you've enjoyed my Podfic, you're also welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Anna Pods, happy Podfic swap. I hope you enjoyed listening.